This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Trans POV is more than just the trans narrative. There are the usual questions about the trans person's earliest memories and their various stages of gender exploration. We have already discussed the differences between transsexual, transgender, and gender fluid, and that gender identity is different from gender expression, which again is different from sexual orientation. While I am usually open to answering other people's respectful questions, which no one would ever dare to ask of other transgender people, it is clear that simple definitions aren't enough anymore, and we need to be talking about lived realities, and sometimes the voices we need to hear from aren't always trans. It's time for a bit of Trans 201. Welcome to Trans Point of View.
Welcome back. You're listening to Transgender Point of View. Mama Mish here. And here we are dealing with coronavirus, happening to do our amazing broadcast from home. And, you know, I ran across an amazing story that came to me, just happened right after the Sydney Iconic Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras. We had an amazing interview signed up with Carrie LePage, who's the Inclusion and Diversity Partner at IBM ANZ. How are you, Carrie?
I'm good. I'm stuck at home like everybody else, but hey.
Now, how long have you been stuck at home like the rest of us?
I think it's gone 4 weeks for us. So we've been pretty much locked in for 4 weeks now, going out occasionally for food, and that's about it.
Well, I myself, it was funny because I actually did a job change myself during the, as soon as they started doing the lockdown. So since mid-February, I've actually been at home myself. So it has not been a fun journey, but it's these sorts of things that you just have to have a good laugh at, actually.
Exactly. To be honest, I work from home all the time, so that bit's not hard for me. But having the family here as well, that is a challenge. It's a challenge.
I'm a parent of a 14-year-old and 10-year-old, and we've had to do the homeschooling thing. And I'm telling you now, I want to send like weekly presents to our teachers because I'm not ready. Yes. Well, I'm doing algebra that I haven't done since like high school. And I'm like, what are we doing this for? This doesn't teach you anything. Why are you doing this?
Exactly. And my son keeps popping in. He's 10. And he keeps popping in going, the teacher says we have to have lunch right now. And I'm just like, I'm in a meeting. Can we do lunch? No, it has to be now.
I want to see all of the social media accounts that start talking about the parents' funny stories at home while they're doing it. But I love the ones that talk about those who are listening to their partners at home. Oh, I'm married to the let's put a pin in this and revisit guy. When was that happening?
I saw a good one the other day. It was, it might take a village to raise a child, but it takes a vineyard to homeschool one.
So I neither will confirm nor deny that comment there. Now, one of the amazing things you're doing over at IBM, much like many organizations are starting to visit, is actually looking into supporting LGBTIQA+ employees better than what we have before in the past. Can you tell me a bit more about what the work it is you're doing there?
A whole range of things, to be honest, but where to start? So one of the most recent things is our gender affirmation treatment leave, which really has come about. We have 4 people at the moment who are going through that process or in different stages of that process.
4.
And speaking to those, yeah, and in speaking to them, it was the biggest stressor was the time involved in terms of the appointments they needed and the things they needed to do outside of work. And that kind of got me thinking and going, well, why can't we do something about that? So, you know, it was a bit of a negotiation process. We're a global company and things, you can't just push the button and it happens. You have to negotiate and you have to get things to work. But I'm actually really happy where it came out, because it's come out as part of our work-life balance leave, but it's specifically called out in that, which means that this kind of leave is available to anyone at IBM. for any life event that they might have. This is on top of your annual leave and any other type of leave you might have. But people going through this type of, or wanting this type of leave, it's specifically called out, it's there. They actually don't have to go to their manager if they don't want to, they can come to me. And so it just makes it easy and it makes it supportive and it takes away some of those stresses and harder points for people that are going through the process.
Yeah, because those early stages, especially when you're different appointments with different doctors, yeah, et cetera. Now, is this specifically, now I'm just going to take a step back here. Is this specifically a gender affirmation treatment leave policy, or is it for just special circumstances leave policy?
No, gender affirmation treatment leave policy, sitting within a broader policy that any IBMer can use for, excuse me, for whatever life stresses or events or whatever that might happen.
Amazing. So you have four employees going through this. This is quite unique for me because, you know, I've worked at many different places, whether it's banks, insurance companies, I currently work within the wider transport myself. And usually I'm the only transgender person that I run across. Yeah. So really? To have four people in one place, that's quite amazing.
Well, there are others who have transitioned in the past, and I guess, I don't know if the process never ends, but there are some who transitioned quite some time ago and wouldn't count themselves as one of these four who are undergoing that process more acutely at the moment. So within the business, there's quite a number, to be honest, but there's four who are currently would be using this leave more than others. So
for those playing at home, just so they have a better understanding, so you yourself, you identify as a cisgender hetero woman, or?
Yep.
So for you within your role within the organization, I've always had conversations with people who have worked in similar positions as yourself, and it always seems to be not a priority issue or... Really? Or something that they'll talk about, but they never really kind of go there. So what was it for you? Because obviously this is something that doesn't affect you personally. What was it that made you actually say, yep, we really have to do this?
I've spent most of last year focusing on this. We call our LGBTIQ+ group EAGLE. Ask me what that stands for. It's Employee Alliance or something or other. But I've spent basically the last year really focusing hard on EAGLE and all of the things that we as a group want to achieve and the environment that we want to create and all of the resources we want to put around that and the training that we want to put around that, and was personally supporting the people that we have. So when someone wants to transition, that is something that I would become involved in. So I run training for their teams, for example. And I would enact things like we've got a name change tool. So if someone wants to change their name, I can enact a tool that will make that flow through all of our processes. And we've got all of the training for the managers and all of those sorts of things. So I'm there helping, supporting that person do that and therefore having lots of conversations with them. And that was the recurring theme was this is a really hard point of stress in terms of the time. So that's kind of what it came from.
My understanding over the years was, look, not many companies are very open about their support of the rainbow community, their employees, et cetera. And that, you know, it is what it is. I'm not going to try to call it out or be negative or anything about that. You know, it's the times have to change. They change slowly to for the better. Now, my understanding is IBM's had a very long track record of working with LGBT employees, though not overly vocal, but I've recently doing my searches and actually been doing research around organizations who are doing the same similar policy as yourself. You have a very long track record of being supportive.
We do actually. It kind of sounds a little bit crazy, but IBM has been all over diversity and inclusion for well over 100 years. And I guess 100 years ago, it was things like women employees and black employees in the US, that sort of thing, and people with disability. There was kind of a groundbreaking policy in the 50s, which was all about hiring without regard to race, color, or creed, which was about 50 years ahead of its time. And I think it was in the 80s that they first added sexual orientation to that, which again was well ahead of its time. So I'm kind of lucky I'm in this role, but it's IBM's history, not mine. I've only been here 2 years. So, and it's a global history. And it's really interesting because we just got a new CEO in New York, and he did a video welcome thing about a week ago. And one of the key things he was talking about was the inclusion and diversity history and how important that is, which I think is pretty cool because, you know, I get to enact that vision. So
yeah, you're down the end going, you actually get to see it actually in action.
Yes. And I have the support to do that, which is amazing.
And that's what's so awesome because you know, you do push it back up to like the CEOs. There's always an executive sign off. There's always whatever, but it never really kind of goes, it's always controlled. The wording's controlled. You never really see it rolled out. So I guess, so as part of this, there's a rollout of an employee resource group, I understand. So I'm trying to understand a bit more about your organization.
Sure. So the way it's structured is we're a global organization. So we have a global lead for they call it over in America, LGBT plus. So that's their terminology. We have a global lead for that. We have a global executive sponsor for that. We have a vital few, which is what they say their priorities are for the year. And then we have squads and people running those squads across those vital few. So for this year, it's LGBTI career empowerment, it's community engagement, LGBTI leadership and support and wellbeing. And then locally, and Eagle's kind of the name across the board for all of those groups. Mm-hmm. Locally, we have our own local Eagle group. So we align with those global priorities, and we have local people on all of those global squads. But we also have our own Eagle group that we've got our own priorities that we're working on of what makes sense in ANZ, ANZ being Australia and New Zealand. Exactly. So it's a little bit complex, but what it means is incredible global support and focus, but bring it back down to the local level and how do we want to do it here. So
is this basically one of the things you're starting to roll out to, I guess, attract more diverse talent within the LGBTIQA plus community then?
Eagle has been around for a long time. It's been at least 10 to 15 to 20 years, so it's not new. What we're trying to do is be more visible about that. So, you know, kind of what you were just saying, we actually have really good policies and really good things going, but we never tell anybody. We just kind of...
That's just it. Companies don't. All these companies I go into, there's all these amazing things that are going on. But we never talk about it. Like, because I'm always, because as a leader within the community, and one of my big focuses is always around employment and helping companies attract the best talent, especially when it comes to trans, gender diverse, non-binary talent. But I get these people always coming to me going, so who are the companies we should focus on? And I'm going, I don't know. Because we never see.
Please, come to us.
Yes, we need to see this more, Carrie. We need to talk about it in social media.
I think locally the problem was I've been in the role 2 years, and before that it was vacant. And so in Australia and New Zealand, it just didn't get the visibility that it needed. But even in the last 6 months, I've had people joining the Eagle group from within IBM locally saying, you know, I've always been just sitting here, but I didn't see the visibility. And now I do. I want to be a part of it, and I want to make this happen, and I want to, you know. So I think that's it's the same internally as it is externally. We need to be visible, or it's just, you know, people don't identify with it unless they can see it.
Well, I just recently ran a transgender employment pilot program that's never been done before here or pretty much anywhere else to really highlight the barriers facing trans folk. Now, when I talk about transgender, again, it's the transgender, the gender diverse, the non-binary individuals. So I always use the transgender as the umbrella. But the thing is there's just, again, first off, companies never see what they're doing. You don't see them going to target the community. But we also have a large tech background or tech-minded trans community that is a really untapped source of employment opportunities. So apart from this, what are some of the changes you're actually doing to be visible now, apart from, say, coming to me and talking about your gender affirmation treatment leave? What are some of the other things you're doing? We need to come up with an acronym for this thing.
One of our key things last year, and obviously this is ongoing, was to sponsor the Victorian Pride Centre, or to become the founding principal partner of the Victorian Pride Centre, which you would know all about, right? Because you're going to be one of the tenants.
Because I got such a big eagle span. Okay, I'm an eagle myself. I was actually able to hug one of the pillar walls within the as it was being built. If I could find the photo, I'll send it to you. I was like, I can hug the Pride Centre.
So I think that sort of thing is where we're trying to head. And I think that sort of thing is really important because it's an ongoing, it's a meaningful thing, it's a supportive thing that'll be there every day. It's not kind of a flash in the pan event that you kind of go to and go, oh, that was nice, it's all over. But it's trying to be more visible in an everyday sort of sense and share that message and just be seen a little bit more and go to events and go to campuses with our rainbow flag, our IBM rainbow logo. And just even using that logo subtly is a form of just a, you know, it's here, it's part of us. It's just a normal thing that's always here rather than making a big deal. Yeah.
Well, that's just it. And that's one of the biggest complaints most people have is, you know, these companies come in, they'll run a campaign. It's like a flash in the pan. And they're going, oh, we're here, we're done. And then they move on and they never talk about it again. Where, you know, we need to have the conversation still happening because people still aren't hearing it because it's, oh, it's so quick. And then we move on.
Yes.
So I was also curious about one of the things, again, part of the stuff that was put in front of me. Tell me more about Out Role Models.
Yeah, that's a program that launched in 2016, I think, which is, again, it's a really cool thing. There's two levels. One's the out executives, and that's the really senior people across the globe. And then the out role models are the ones who aren't the really, really, really senior ones, but are just people within the business who are happy to be seen and be approached and be visible and be the people to go to as the out role models of the business. So they're really strongly promoted. The out executives, you can go to the website and the out executives are there and they contribute to those vital few discussions. And there's a Pride Gateway, which is a global Pride Gateway, and that comes out it's there all the time, but there's an update every month and there's lots of stuff on there around profiling out women and profiling out transgender employees. So on International Women's Day, for example, there was a whole big profile of transgender women on there. Oh, wow. So just all of those things just constantly coming out and out and out. And locally there's an out executive and three out role models. And they're all really active in our Eagle group. So
I wanted to go and look on, say, your website, though. Could I see all of that and follow along and read all that? Or is that just an internal intranet thing?
That is a very good question. I think all of our external website is controlled globally. And there is a whole diversity site, but I'm not sure how much you can delve into.
I'd love to read about it. I'd love to look at it. I'd love to share it with my wider community and say, look at these amazing people. Come on, Carrie, help me out here.
I think LinkedIn and Facebook probably have all those sorts of things because we've been doing some really cool things in the US. Like our chief diversity and inclusion officer actually went and addressed Congress and the Vatican on LGBTIQ rights. And she was one of the only people invited to do that, particularly to the Vatican. So there's some really cool things happening, and I think they'd probably share it through the appropriate channels, but I don't have any control over that.
Well, put me on your mailing list. I want to share it and talk about it. Like, I love when companies are just this amazing and do these sorts of things because, you know, again, the always question comes back on, oh, so who's doing what? Who's doing this? We need to hear it. We need to see it.
Yeah.
So with your new graduate and onboarding process, with these, you know, training and scenarios, I'd love to hear more about that too.
So what we've implemented last year was that all graduates that come in run through a sort of a training week or two. Mm-hmm. And so I now take a section of that and run an LGBTIQ+ awareness session. And it's quite fun. We use cahoots and we do a bit of a quiz and we discover they don't know anything. And you know, then we do some learning and we do some interactive scenarios. So we talk about through, like we have some scenarios that are morally tricky, and we talk about how you would raise things and what would you do and how would you say that, and if you're too scared to say that, how would you, what do you do about that? And it's just a really nice way to ease and talk about this as something that's really important to IBM, give them the skills, give them the resources, and then give them the links in if they want to do things with the Eagle Group. And a lot of them then do approach me and say, look, I'd really like to be involved. We have something called badges. I don't know if other companies have badges, but we have digital badges. And one of them is the LGBT plus digital badge. And it's about being an ally to the LGBTI community. So you have to do some online training and you have to do some organizing of LGBTIQ events, and you have to sort of show that you are a clear ally or part of the community. And then you get this digital badge that attaches to your profile, and you can put it on your email and you can put it on LinkedIn. And I send you a rainbow lanyard, not that we wear lanyards anymore because we're all at home. You know, it's all of those just little signals and signs, and I give them badges to stick on the back of their computers saying inclusive IBM and the rainbow logo. And
I like that.
Little signs and symbols. And they all come out sort of aware that this is something that we find really important. And that kind of just sets the scene when they then move through into the business.
Do you make that more of a something you can opt in for? Or are you now actually make it as part of like KPIs, or actually like you must do these sorts of things? Like, how do you sort of handle it?
For the grads, it's just part of their onboarding. There's no opt-in or out. It is what it is. And it's not about you have to believe this. And you, like, if you're someone who's very religious, for example, and doesn't agree or whatever it might be, that's fine. I'm not trying to change people's opinions, but I am saying everyone needs to be treated with respect. And this is what respect looks like in IBM. So,
because there are some people who do push back, and I'm not so hardcore. I'm not one of those who are like, you know, oh, but this is right. You know, this is my rights and whatever. Yeah, there's people who have different beliefs, but it's just about respect in general from one person to another. And that's really important that people do understand that.
Yeah. And it's the same in sort of because we're a global company, we've got people in countries where being in this community is illegal. So for us, the way we deal with that is we're not in any way saying you shouldn't be part of the laws of the land, you shouldn't follow the laws of the land. But whilst you are within IBM, you must be treated with respect and valued and all of the things that go with that. And IBM in some of those countries is a safe space because we do have those values. Whereas perhaps outside there isn't the same sort of level of respect and safety.
I would love to hear more about the gender affirmation leave. So what are some of the details around that? So if I'm an employee within IBM, how does that policy work? Like what is the length of leave or all of that?
So it's a yearly thing that rolls over. So every year, like every year you get annual leave and you get sick leave and things like that. Every year you get a allocation of up to 2 weeks work-life leave, of which gender affirmation treatment is part of. And so essentially for the gender affirmation treatment version, you can have up to 2 weeks a year to take how you would like. You might choose to take it as a two-week block. You might choose to take it as a half-day block here, there, and everywhere, depending on what sort of appointments you've got, that sort of thing. If you don't feel comfortable asking your manager for that sort of leave, you can come to me and I can approve it. I've got approval rights over that. Obviously, I would do that by helping the person to have conversations with their manager because, you know, we need to do that. But essentially to make it easy so that people don't feel like they can't do something because they can't approach the topic, whereas I can sort of broker that conversation if need be. So essentially it's a 2 weeks every year for this type of treatment and whatever you need it to be.
So if somebody were to come to you, say, just coming out saying, look, Carrie, I need to have a chat with you. I don't want to tell my boss. I know you're the lead on this. I'm identifying as transgender. I'm seeing the counselor. I've seen the psych, whatever I'm doing, and I'm starting the process. Do you have any kind of like other material, like a guide that you give them to walk through, to give them sort of?
We've got amazing material, and that's where it's the benefit of me. My job's easy when it comes to this sort of thing, because it's all done. Like the global team, the lead for this area is a woman called Alice Slade, who's based in the UK, and she's amazing. So she just pumps out these amazing, like, you know, if I'm looking for something to celebrate Transgender Day, she's done it. And all of the, and I just have to take it and copy it and put it into the local, you know, all of the resources and the learning resources and the, you know, everything I might need is there. And so I would work with that person to go through some of the things they need to be thinking about. If they are happy to, I'd rope in the local HR person for their area and we would work together. To be honest, nobody, in not one case, has the manager not been 100% supportive of the ones that I've been working with. So, you know, you kind of expect, and I've run training for their teams, and you kind of expect you might get one that's going to go, oh, I don't believe in all this stuff. Not at all. Like, astoundingly the other way. So I was running one session and someone came up to me afterwards and I was like, oh, you know, excuse me. And he was like, I'm just so concerned that I want to make sure I do this right as a manager. And I know that there's, you know, I know that in this community sometimes there's mental health issues when people aren't supported, and I don't want that to happen, and I'm really concerned that that doesn't happen, and help me to do this right. And that's kind of the sentiment. It's been really quite amazing. So
that is awesome. So for you, as a cishet ally within all of this space, what has been probably one of the biggest surprising things that faces as a challenge towards the transgender community itself?
Not so much the transgender community, but there are still people within IBM who don't feel comfortable being out. And to me, that is one of the biggest surprises, because I feel like, and I mean, this is my perspective, I'm not in the community, and that's a, you know, I'm very aware of that. But I kind of feel like we're doing everything we can do to make it the right place to be. So I find it hard to, like, what are we not doing? Why are they, and I don't think everyone should be out. They don't want to be. I know, you don't really. it worries me that we have people that don't feel confident, and why don't they feel confident? And is it something that's serious, and how can I make that not be that way? You know what I mean?
Well, if you need a guest speaker to come in and just say something for the day or do whatever, you just give me a holler. Yeah, I'll come in and just hang out for an afternoon, you know, and just, you know, have a meet and greet, something, whatever we need to do. I would love to. And this is the stuff I've done already, but it's so exciting to hear companies like yours, especially being someone from IT of many years, you know, because when I came out, I couldn't find work in IT at all. And I was actually a field technician for a company that was one of your contractors at one point, and they completely had freaked out. And I was told that being transgender wasn't a cultural fit within the organization. And, you know,
in IBM, because if it was IBM, I'd be exceptionally worried.
Well, it was a subcontractor, but it's not IBM directly. And so to be here now in the position I am, to be able to go and share, you know, the positive things you're doing, the bit of a look back and trying to fix the things that I dealt with and going, you know what, no, we're going to highlight the positive things that are going on, not the negative, and say, hey, you know, you guys may not have done it, but hey, you know, a company like IBM is actually there, you know, walking the walk and talking the talk. So my only advice then is to say, so make sure you apply it to your subcontractors below, that they're following your policy as well.
Absolutely. No, very good. And we're not perfect by any means. We've got lots of things we're trying to do. We've got lots of things we're working on. We've got a list this long of things that we're, you know, still picking over. I feel like we've got some traction, and I feel like we're starting to get some visibility, and I feel like we're starting to make some progress, which is good.
Well, between now and November, my challenge for you and your organization, Transgender Awareness Week, do something amazing. Knock us all out of the water. Maybe showcase some of your employees publicly, not just internally. I'd love to see that.
You're my guest star for that week. I can say you can totally be my guest.
I booked in. What are you doing this week? I'm with IBM.
Absolutely. You're on. I'm going to hold you to that now.
Well, Carrie, thank you so much for joining me today and having a great laugh and sharing some of the amazing things that are going on with your organization. I'm just as excited as you are. I'm, you know, for me, I want to find more organizations like yours, hear more of their stories, and share it with the wider community so they know that we do have is so much support out there, that more than we realize, and we can make a massive difference for the community.
Absolutely. And we can only work together. And that's the whole thing. It's not a competition. It's like the more we can all do together, the more it changes society. And that's what we want to try and do.
Exactly. You know, for right now, it's not about being the first. It's not about being the best. It's like, how can I be the best at supporting, say, another organization and create a collective that says, oh, hey, you know, we may not have this person might have, you know, some great skills. They may not have been good for the role that we're going for, but maybe we might know somebody else at other organizations we can give advice for, because, you know, it's a broken community that really just needs a helping hand right now.
Yep, I agree. So we'd love to be part of that. Well, we are part of that and you're part of that. Sure. And let's all make it happen.
Yes, we will. All right, Carrie, thank you so much. You have been listening to Transgender Point of View. My name's Mama Mish. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And thank you for listening in today. If you do want to reach out to us, you can email us at transpov@joy.org.au. You can also follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/transpovonjoy. You can get us on Twitter, transpov, or you can also follow along on Joy and just see what's going on every day here at Joy FM, which is joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.